We'll wrap up today's exchange with Ellen Urbani, an Oregon author who wrote a novel set in the time and place of Hurricane Katrina. The novel is called Landfall, and Ellen Urbani will talk about it Saturday at 2 at the Eugene Library. Ellen lives on a farm near Portland, but traveled many miles to get there. She spent time working in the Peace Corps in Guatemala in the latter days of a civil war there, the subject matter for her earlier memoir, When I Was Elena. Ellen is also trained as a therapist and worked as a mental health specialist for the Department of Homeland Security. Ellen Urbani, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Jeffrey, for having me.
So did you counsel any people who survived Hurricane Katrina?
Actually, I was actually on the docket to go to Katrina and do just that, but I had had a baby right before Katrina hit, and so Katrina was not a disaster at which I was there in person, although I certainly communicated a lot with people who were on the ground there. My former husband went and was part of that rescue effort.
No one even needs to say hurricane anymore. Just saying Katrina's enough. Given that it's such a monumental event in recent American history, was there any trepidation in writing about it?
I had a lot of trepidation. I don't think necessarily because it was a recent event, but more so because in many ways I felt like it was an event that belonged to the people who lived through it, much like 9/11 was. And I was a little nervous about how the book and I would be perceived by people who lived through that hurricane and currently live in the South, given that my home is now in Oregon.
Did you try a few configurations of character and story and even setting on size before ending up where you did?
Well, I did. I went through a kind of almost a bizarre lineage to get to the story I wound up with. I intended to write another memoir. I was going to write a book of family stories. But when my mother and sisters burst into tears when I told them I was going to do that and begged me not to, I say I wound up having to write fiction because my family wouldn't let me tell the truth.
Burst into tears. What did you say in that first memoir?
Well, no, it wasn't very bad, I didn't think. But, you know, I think I've gotten to a point as a writer where I'm used to throwing open my own closets and letting the skeletons fall out for everybody to pick through. And my sisters and my mother weren't quite as interested in doing that as I am.
Ah, okay, that explains it. So the story in Landfall revolves around two young women with similar names. Can you lay it out for us?
So we have a young girl named Rose, and she's 18 years old. She's a young white girl living in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, with her single mother. And then we have the story of Rosie, a young African-American girl of the same age, living in New Orleans with her mother, Selah. And the book opens with a car accident. Rose and her mother, Gertrude, the white family, are driving supplies to the Red Cross in the wake of Hurricane Katrina when they hit and kill a young black girl on the side of the road. That would be Rosie. She's classified as Jane Doe. And as the story proceeds, Rose, the only survivor of the accident, becomes obsessed with trying to find the identity of the girl she was involved in killing. And so, you know, we have a chapter in Rose's voice and from her perspective moving toward New Orleans after the hurricane. And those are buffered by chapters in the voice of Rosie, the young black girl, as she escapes out of New Orleans after Katrina to try and get help for her family.
Since you do work with people who grieve and who have been through trauma, I wonder how common that is to do what Rose does in the book, where she really wants to know more about the person who died.
It really helped me to have had, you know, 15 years of experience working as a grief and a trauma counselor, and specifically working with people who were dying and their immediate family members. And I think so often when there's a death, especially an accidental death or a death we're not prepared for, we can often try to find purpose for moving forward from there by answering some of the questions that were left by those accidents.
The details of lives unlike your own, how do you gather those? How do you research for a book like this?
Oh, it took me years, really. In some ways, I guess I was both lucky and cursed that at the time I decided to write this book, I was a single mom to that baby I had had right before Katrina and her brother, who was a year older than she was. And so as a single mom to two babies, I couldn't find much time to write, but I could research while they were sleeping. And so I spent about a year researching the book before I began to write it. And much of that centered on researching kind of the life perspective of the different cultures I wrote about in that book, and also the voice and the speech patterns. It really mattered to me that if I was going to write a book that incorporated voices from cultures and races other than my own, that I wanted to make sure I was as accurate as I could possibly be and as authentic as I could be also to the details of the storm.
Once you've got research like that accomplished, I mean, I'm just curious about storage in your own head, I guess, the details necessary to put together a fully fleshed out novel, like little things like Rose cracking her knuckles and walking in a yellowed bridal veil in their house, to the big things like flood water coming up the street.
Right. So part of, as I said, I wanted to write this book of family stories, and while I changed my direction, what I was able to do was take some of the themes and a lot of those little quirks of families that I know very intimately and hand them off to the characters in the book. So in that way, those pieces like the cracking of the knuckles and the wearing of the bridal veil, those were simple. They were culled from my own life. It was the details of the storm and of the cultures that was much harder to keep track of. I had lots of charts and graphs. And of course, then as a single mom to babies, I was writing the book, I couldn't always stop and write when an idea came to me or when two thoughts connected in my head. So I say I lived those years surrounded by Post-it notes. I had Post-it notes in the refrigerator and the jog stroller and the diaper bag and the medicine cabinet, all the places where I'd stick my head in the course of a day with two babies. And I'd jot down notes to myself and I'd stick them to the walls. And then when they went to sleep or when they started preschool, as soon as I had a minute, I would collect all the little pieces of paper, hundreds of pieces of paper off my walls, and I would lay them out across my bed and then just connect the pieces of paper and turn them into the story.
Is there a certain percentage, though, you pick up a piece of paper and you go, I have no idea what I meant here?
Yeah, absolutely. Usually anything I wrote after 11 o'clock at night was trash. But I managed to you get to know yourself and you know the cues you wind up needing. Mm-hmm. And so I could connect the dots easily enough.
Eleanor Bonney is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, lives in Oregon now in the Portland area on a farm. She is the author of Landfall, a novel about Hurricane Katrina and people tied up in it. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Ellen will be at the Eugene Public Library Lecture Series on Saturday at 2 o'clock, reading from and talking about Landfall. So you were talking about how you don't mind opening the closet and letting all the skeletons fall out. Rose's mother in Landfall seems quite the opposite. She doesn't just not talk about her past. She burns the evidence of it. Why?
Well, you know, I was trying to look at the way in this book in which we keep or tell secrets in our families. Obviously, that started with my own family stories. And I think a lot of the themes that came out of Katrina were about the ways in which we reveal, share, or respond to information politically, socially, culturally. And so I created these two very different characters. The one will not tell the truth no matter what, one mother, and then the African-American mother, Sela, she tells way, way, way too much. And I think sometimes in our culture we tend to fly from one extreme to the other. And by painting this portrait of these two families who handled their secrets very differently, I hoped we might all understand that there might be a more balanced, nuanced place in the middle.
So, obviously, you know, we're talking about Hurricane Katrina. We're talking about other people's things that happen that go badly in their lives. There's obviously grief in the story. I did notice that you're holding an event Monday in Portland about a discussion about grief. Tell us about how you ended up doing hospice work.
When I was living in Guatemala, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it was a very interesting experience, and I don't use the word interesting lightly, but I think it played out well for us. But it was an interesting experience to recognize how that separation between us, me being in a different country while she was going through that kind of a treatment for that type of illness, affected me. And I realized that so much in our culture, we had been focused on the care of a patient and the care of the people around them, the people who love them, had not so much been addressed at that point. That was, say, 25 years ago. And that's what kind of called me to that career. I wanted to look at the ways in which we might better support our patients by supporting their families as they're moving from through their illness toward death.
We are quite the avoiders of death in our culture. We generally don't want to talk about it. I mean, I've known people in my life who held their breath going past graveyards. As a result, do we complicate the working through of grief, do you think?
I certainly think so. It's a personal opinion, but I think that we are so often often so stoic that we want so much to be fine and we want so much to be able to carry on that we neglect to recognize that there are healthy means by which we can carry on, and one of those means is expressing grief, asking for help. It's kind of un-American to ask for help. And yet, in some ways, it's one of the most loving things we can do. Giving someone the opportunity to help you, to support you, is a true gift and a great kindness.
I read your blog post from last year about the many people you've met who, in horrible circumstances, wanted their loved ones to just hear through you, "I'm okay." Now, you say that's not denial. What is that?
Well, I think certainly there are times when we are in denial and we insist that we are fine when our lives are collapsing around us. But at other times, I think we can recognize that, you know, I am fine despite some very bad circumstances. The blog you're talking about, I was writing about my own cancer experience. I was a single mom diagnosed with cancer with two small children. It was both a terrifying time in my life, and yet I was doing everything I needed to do to make sure that I got the best care I could, that I got all the help that I needed. And in some ways, it was an active choice for me to decide that, as opposed to being maudlin about it and focusing only on what was going wrong in my life at that time, I was going to choose to believe I was okay and that I would be okay. And I think that helped me move through that experience in a healthful way, whereas if I had been saying, "I'm okay, I'm fine," and pretending nothing was happening and not getting the care and the help that I needed, that would have been denial. That would have been dangerous.
One of the examples you give was from people in very close to ground zero on 9/11. Did you get a chance to talk to many people who can relate their own personal stories to you about what they saw and heard and thought as Hurricane Katrina closed in around them?
Oh, I did. Certainly. I grew up in the South, and I went to school at the University of Alabama. So most of my college friends, at least, lived through Katrina in one way or another along the Mississippi Gulf Coast in Louisiana. I had dear friends who evacuated out and others who stayed. And it was quite a privilege when I was touring with Landfall when the book released last summer, and I was in New Orleans on the 10-year anniversary of the storm, and was taken around by locals and shown the places that are still significantly destroyed and other places where they're rebuilding.
We should point out that since you are from the South and know the places, Tuscaloosa is in Landfall and a bunch of other places that you mentioned. Was there some trepidation, though, about going to New Orleans, book in hand, on tour?
I was. You know, in some ways, again, it goes back to that question of, how would people feel about me, who no longer lives in the South, writing this story that is a quintessentially Southern story? And I couldn't have been welcomed more warmly. I remember the night of the event in New Orleans, thinking, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen, and what kind of questions might be leveled at me?" And some of the journalists whose work I cited in Landfall, who formed the basis of my research, showed up for me. They were sitting there in the front row. Governor Blanco showed up with her husband. And across the board, people said, one, you know, "Thank you for telling the story and telling the truth. Thank you for doing it gracefully. And thank you for getting it so accurate." You know, to hear people who won Pulitzer Prizes for their reporting of that story tell me that this was one of the most authentic versions they'd ever read of that storm moved me a great deal.
Wow, that is high praise indeed. So Landfall is your first novel after the memoir. Is there more fiction in you? Does there have to be because of your mother and sister and their reaction?
Exactly. I still have not completely convinced my family to let me bare their souls. So I am actually stewing right now on the next book, and I think it'll be in some ways a little bit what Landfall was. It'll be a hybrid of kind of some nonfiction events, but some fictionalized characters set within them.
How much of your mother, for example, is in Rose's mother in Landfall?
Actually, not very much, and which I'm sure you know you're going to guess she paid me to tell you.
Probably.
Not very much, although there are certain elements. You know, I think I gave a little piece of myself to all of those characters in that book. There's a little bit of the people I love in many of those characters as well. but they're all invented characters as a whole.
The book is called Landfall. It is set right around the time of Hurricane Katrina. It's written by Ellen Urbani, who lives in the Portland area. She'll be reading from and talking about Landfall in an appearance with the Eugene Public Library Lecture Series. That is Saturday from 2 to 3:30 at the Downtown Library in Eugene. Ellen Urbani, thanks so much for giving us a preview here on The Exchange.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey, and I look forward to being in Eugene on Saturday.
Okay, take care.